Get a little through this today. We're discussing the list now of Rukhiya as opposed to Rukhiya. Welcome back. Good to see you. We're discussing the list of, you know, can I call on you? You're up to date?
No, I guess we'll see.
Well, we'll see. Okay. Or you've been learning Gittin?
Huh?
Or you've been learning Gittin?
Yeah, we've been learning Gittin, but I will see this morning.
Oh, So Rav Chiya is Rav Chiya's list, as we've discussed, is more expansive, and we've been discussing how to again whether that just kind of puts it beyond reach in terms of trying to understand why these are different, why they're distinguished from each other, why they're mechayvim, et cetera, or. On the contrary, just pushes us a little bit further to understand, the true nature and the true distinctiveness, let's say, of each and every one of these. So we talked about the God of a Goslin and the subtle difference, but important difference between them. And I think we're in the middle of discussing, before we move on, Tashlume Kefel and Tashlume Dalid Behe. And what we were trying to say was that with regard again, Tashlume Dalid Behe. Each one is a big topic, but I think we pretty much discussed what we want to discuss about Tashlume Dalid Behe, namely that it has its own trigger, although it's in the framework of Gezeila. And there's no other knas that is like that. There's no other knas that's like Dalid Behe. There's no other knas that's like Kefel. And the question is, again, is that singular phenomenon of Kefel and of Dalid Behe happens to be the case, and it's coincidental, or at least legally insignificant, or on the contrary, there are no coincidences in these things, and the setup screams out, basically, that we should understand better and understand that this is part of the character of what it is. So in the case of Dalid Behe, as we discussed, that certainly has to be linked up to the problem of Shana Bechet and Mishtarish Bechet. The Gemara is on a bunch of places, but Sabach Zayinu and Beis and Samaches Omed Aleph. And as I say, particularly, I think it really, really is connected to the question of Shalo Tovech, Shalo Mocher, whether it's conceivable when there's a shame Gezela, shame Geneva still on Cheftza, let's say according to the Manomer Yishkedi Kani, which, as I said the other day, very, very briefly, in contrast to Shinoi Kone, both are Kinyane Gezela Gemurim, which don't require Hashavas Habe'en. But where they might differ is that Shinoi Koneb Kishmo Kein Hu certainly emphasizes the discontinuity between what was and what is. In other words, in Shinoi Koneb, the idea that there's a Hafkos Shem Chefza Shom Gezela or Geneva, very, very reasonable, right? The only question in Shinoi Koneb is whether it's all just about that, and it's Panim Chadashos Bo Lekan, and it's like the Gemara's in the beginning of a Gozel. Again, not sure how they think a lot of people are learning the Homo Sechta, right? So that's why I'm taking a little bit of an opportunity also to throw all of this at you. But the Gemara in the beginning of a Gozel, as is well known, talks about Shinui Kona, and what's one of the striking things about it is the framework of dealing with Shinui Kona, in context of other Dinei Shinui, right? So you have Estanzona, right? And you have Reishis Hagez, and you have, Chala, you have a whole bunch of other things. So all of that is very suggestive, right? That part of the story of Shinui Kona is really the concept of Panim Chadashos Bo Lekan, that it's not, there's discontinuity, and that that discontinuity has halachic impact, in terms of identifying the owner of the object in the case of Gezela, or other things. Again, when you need the tziruf, that's where again Reishis Hagez and Estanzona, again is hafkos, continuity too in terms of the stigma, right? So the idea that once a Shinui Kona. That's the big question in Shinui Kona, and that is, does it even need, the foundation of original Kinyanei Genevo Gezela? Like, maybe it doesn't need that. Just say straight out, Panim Chadashos Ba'olakan. Or no, you do, because there's still a lot to overcome, And it has to be like, you know, working off of some foundation. Or is it a kinyan, or is it really just kind of like a hefker, because there's no owner in its new state. It's like a new object. So those are the questions in Shinui Koine. But when it comes to Yish Kedikani, I say that's a little bit of a different story. You know, there you get the effect of kinyan, but not necessarily the discontinuity, you know, and on the contrary. So in addition to Reb Chaim's big ha'ara about, you know, Yeush, even in Geneva and Gezela, possibly being a kinyan aveda rather than a kinyan gezela, right? Either way, Yeush has nothing to do with discontinuity. It has nothing to do with Panim Chadash's Boika. So the idea that even if you're technically the owner, this object still has a past history, a stigma-laden past history, you know, that continues to haunt it or to define it, you know, it's very reasonable. So in terms of Mitzvah Ba'Baveri, you have that with Rebbeinu Tam. And in terms of possibly Shalom, Afalpi, you know, Shehu Konech, you know, despite being Shalom Tovech with Shalom Mocher, that there's still a din of Chiyav Dalad Dehei becomes possible as well. Except that once that is true, then it's much more reasonable to think, you know, that this is Midin the stigma, and it's a Tanai in the original Geneva and the Gezela, by virtue of the Tziruf, you know, the continued Tziruf to what that was. But it's harder to say that, you know, that Dalad Dehei or the Tvicho Mechira constitutes a kind of quasi Geneva Gezela Mechayev when the object is yours and you're keeping it. Right. Again, the idea that it's stigmatized, you know, and that there's still continuity for certain dinim, that's reasonable. But the idea of a machayib of a gezel, a kind of a gezel in that context, I think that's really pushing it. That really isn't so likely. But having said that, so that's one big issue. That's in one direction. And then the opposite direction, you know, is the idea that I mentioned the other day, and that was that when the Gemara says, Dalad Behe Kashasa Mada Bedin, Kefal Dalad Behe Kashasa Mada Bedin, and Samachay Amad Aleph, what does it really mean? So again, most Rishonim, the Pashtus of the language of the Gemara, and the majority, you know, considerable majority view, is that whatever we're saying about Kefal, we're saying about Dalad Behe, and what we're saying about them both is pretty straightforward, and that's Shasa Mada Bedin. And again, whether that's reflected by or caused by or separate from, those are three options, reflected by, caused by, and separate from, the din of Asher Yarshiyan Olehim Olam, Arshiyas Atzmo, maybe the role of Hamad Abedin, that's debated among the Rishonim. You have to look at the Rush there, and the Ravid, and the Bali Tosis, and so on and so forth. Fine. But if there are views, and there are, in the Tosefta, you know, in some of the Rishonim Yishidim Kubetzes, that, you know, don't learn Kepashtus, and that do distinguish between Kefal and Dalad Behei, that's the last, what we've been talking about, then that is surely significant. And the question is it significant, you know, for one, for the other, or for both? So we find different views. So certainly the view that says that, you know, the Chi of Dalad Behei will be defined by Shas Tvicho Bechira, right, is very important, implying that it isn't just a tnai, but it really is some sort of a mechayev. If it's a mechayev, so then it makes sense that that's the ikar, you know, that's the critical moment, we'll call it. That's the zman achiyu, right? Or if dafka, dalad behei, depends on shas geneva, you know, and as opposed to kefel, right, that too, you know, seems to establish that the multiple of Dalad Behei is somehow a continuation of the original Gezeba and Gezela. Again, you have to explain why Kefal isn't, but we'll get that in just a second. So either of those views, especially the view of Zman, Tzvichon Bechira, but also the other view, particularly as differentiated from Kefal, might contribute again to this notion that Dalad Behei isn't just a multiple Knas, a knas based on the multiple, in other words, but it is, you know, something more. Either way, justifying it's both the differentiation between Kefal and Dalad Behei, and Dalad Behei being on the list as a different kind of a knas. Then the question is, what about Kefal? So again, just like Dalad Behei is singular, Kefal is singular. Because where else do we find a knas, right, that is identical in amount, seemingly. We'll see if they can break that in a minute. And at the same time, you know, jointly triggered by the maisa, right, that that generates the chi of mamo, the chi of karen, right? And in a way, you know, it's, again, the implications seem to be dialectical. You know, on the one hand, you know, this pulls kefel into the ikar machayev of the maisa geneva, you know, more so, right? Because that it doesn't have a separate trigger, right? And at the same time, less so, right? Less so because it seems totally superfluous or redundant. Like, why are we charging you double, you know, for this action? That could only seemingly be, you know, because we want to hit you hard. We don't want to just quid pro quo you. We want to double quid pro quo you because we don't want you to do this again, or we want to punish you, right? So whether it's deterrent or punishment, it doesn't make a difference. But so on the one hand, like I say, it, by sharing with Karen, it seems to be part of the ikar machayev of the maisa geneva. And at the same time, it seemed by its redundancy, you know, it seems dafka, you know, like a typical knas. Ah. So again, the question of how you estimate kefel becomes important. And again, let's say you say dafka kefel is b'shas ha-gneva, you know, that would particularly, you know, seem to apply, no, that it's not a typical knas, especially if you think that typical knossos are b'shas ha-manabedin, because that's mostly when they're triggered, based on Asher Yoshiun, for the reasons that we said before. So, you know, this implies a little bit otherwise. But I think there are other things that imply it, too. The question is, what would be the formulation? What's the way to explain kefel as something more than a typical, you know, just, you know, not a slap on the wrist, maybe it's more than a slap on the wrist, but more than just a typical knas. And I think that the answer is, again, you don't have the shana and the mishtarish part, because it's not a separate action, but what you do have, maybe, is a way of looking at gneva as having, you know, another dimension. Meaning two things happen in gneva at the same time. Okay, and here I think, in particular, that zeroing in on the either the maisa as opposed to again the effect, I think it's more of an and than an or, but not necessarily for everybody, and that is the relationship between the be'en. Right, and the shovi. Right, these are two areas which, anyways, need to be examined in Geneva and Gezela, as they do in other halachic institutions, but in particular in Geneva and Gezela. Namely, again, the relationship between the criminal act, you know, and its effect. Do we care about the maisa Geneva, the maisa Gezela, you know, or just the fact that the guy, you know, caused you $100 loss? This is a question that we discussed, you know, very extensively right in the beginning of the year, because we were talking about the relationship between Mazik and Gezel, right? And whether or not, you know, Rabbeinu Yonah, and then later on we saw this also in the Rishonim, right, in the Eish Sugya, and of course in Sugya and Samach Amud Aleph, you know, all these indicate, and then some of the Rishonim in Gittin. Ah, okay. But you know this from Kama. Yeah. So maybe now you know it from Gittin. What part of Gittin were you learning?
First parak.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. So what we know again is partly that's the question. In other words, how can you project Geneva or Gezela as the mokar for Nezek when the Maisa, the Tzura, the Iser, all of those things seem to be lacking, you know, in Nezek. That's part of where this comes into play, the relationship between these things. But in addition to that, just, you know, separate from that, just when you're analyzing the relationship, as we just did you know, yesterday or 2 days ago, between Geneva and Gazela, it's very much part of the problem or part of the issue. Namely, both Geneva and Gazela, we'll talk about this a little more in a minute, are different, let's say, from their satellites. What do I mean by their satellites? Kofar B'Pikadon, we'll get to them. Shol Shalomidas, Shaleach Yad, Toin Tanas Ganoth, right? We're going to discuss them very briefly, also because they pop up here in one way or another. What differentiates Geneva and Oshek, right? Certainly Ona and Ribis, if we're talking about Bab Metzia Samachale. What differentiates Geneva and Gezela is Biisura Asaliade, is the Maisa Hotzah and Rishus Abayla, right? Vigunaf Vibesa Ish, in the case of Geneva, and Vayigzal, you know, Hachonis Miyana Mitzri, right, in the case of Gezela. But what we were talking about on Tuesday was the extent to which, you know, this difference, this differentiating factor, you know, of Geneva and Gezela vis-a-vis all these others, including Nezek, if you want to extend it further, you know, is the same in Geneva and in Gezela. Right? We were trying to develop the idea that maybe, for example, in Geneva, right, the Hotzah Mirshus Abaylim, you know, is more part of the Mechayiv, and not just, you know, a factor that makes more chomor or makes a little bit different, you know, Gezela from the rest. But what differentiates Geneva from the rest and from Gezela itself is the, you know, the Maisa Hotzah Mirshus, the Tzura as well. It's not just a factor, you know, that deepens, let's say, the Kumbase part of it, or the Ben Adam, you know, Lechavero part of it, but would add some call it a Ben Adam Lamakom. That's what I was referring to, right, the Sugan Ayin Tesim and Aleph, which says that the difference between Geneva and Gezela is, you know, is very much the theological aspect. Like, how does that fit in to all of this? Right? It has to fit in some way. Oh. So the point I'm trying to make is that, having said that, so the relationship between the Maiso Tzom Rishus Abaylim, right, and the Chisaron Mamon that results is an issue in Geneva and Gezela versus the rest, but also maybe even in Geneva and Gezela. So is it also particularly acute within Geneva regarding the factor of Kefel? Maybe one of the reasons that Kefel is triggered. Again, we're trying to figure out a way to explain that Kefel isn't just, you know, a slap on the wrist or more, you know, but basically typically a knas by virtue of its being, you know, redundant. But the fact that it's exact, you know, not a fixed sum, and the fact that it is shares, right, the Maisa, maybe on the contrary, maybe it's a kind of a knas, maybe it's a different dimension is what I'm trying to say. Oh, still called knas because it's me'eber, the amount of the loss, but it's what I'm suggesting, obviously, just like I was with Elad Behe, is that it's an aspect of Geneva itself in a more substantive way. So what I'm suggesting is that there are two ways, I think, to formulate that. And one is this way, namely that the Kefal part accentuates or derives from, right, the Hotzom Rishus Abaylim part particularly. And I think that that's partly connected to Vigunav Mibes Ha'ish, right, Velo Mibes Hagana, right. The Rishonim will think that that is only about Kefal, right? But I think that there are other elements as well. Again, one way to explain, the Gemara says in Samach Hesem Adbeis that there's a special way to get out of Kefal. Who here is learning Meruba? Everybody's being humble, I know that. Right? Ravi? They're all learning Meruba, aren't they? Otherwise, they don't get to go to that party at the end of the year, right? So, okay. So, what's the mechanism, Eitan? What's the mechanism to get out of Kefal? Not Motu B'Knas. Forget about that. That's all Knasos.
The
Shigayin
of
Yesh
and something
No, not so much. I mean, what does that do with the Kefal particularly?
Not being Makdish.
Yeah, maybe, but not because of itself. You have to zero in on the halachic Avrami. What's that? Aside from being modi, yeah. The modi is that's all. The balabai is dochek, you know. Yeah, like a special din. Your Maktish might be an example of it, but that's not...
I was just asking what the sugya you wanted. I can answer the question.
Well, answer the question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
great.
So the concept where because the guy slaughtered it and didn't return it back, he can go from being a ganav to being a gazlan, and therefore...
That would be on a secondary level, but what's the halachic terminology? Are you? Excellent. Cause or care in the Bible. Oh, you have to ask the Masmidim people. Right, they've seen it like 5 times already. Okay, great. Yeah. Cause or care. Is that what you meant? That's a little bit. Samaches of a base, right? The Gemara does talk about Makdish there as being, and the Gemara says, well, so what's Ari, what's the story? If you return the Karen before the Din Torah is over, that's called Chazer Karen Labailim, and you are Patur from Kefal. Ah. So what is that? Again, Xeris HaKosov. Okay, could very well be Xeris HaKosov. I mean, we just don't know what it is. If we want to suggest something, we might suggest that, this is, an earlier way of neutralizing, Hotzah, Sachefetz, Mishus HaBailim. Cause we're carrying the Bible, right? So I do think that there's a lot of indication that Kefel is connected to the factor of Maisa Hotzah Mishus HaBayis. But I think even more so, either this is a bullseye or a total miss. We'll see in a moment. I think that's the debate among the Rishonim, and this is the overlapping part. Is that what Kefel as a Mechayev may be is connected to the relationship between the Be'en part and the Chisaron Mamon part. We call it the Nezek part. Again, of course, that's what I mean by overlapping, because the Maisa Otzom Rishus HaBailim is about the Be'en. It's not about the finances. And the loss, of course, is about the finances. But instead of saying it's a din in the Maisa Gneva or the Tsurasa Gneva, I'm suggesting that it has to do with, the overlapping part, which may be separate, is that it has to do with, like, when you take this object, you've done 2 things at the same time. That's one way to look at it, right? You have deprived, this fellow of his property, and therefore you've assaulted him, in terms of a Be'en. And at the same time, you have depleted his net worth, right? Because he doesn't have access to, and may never again have access to, this valuable commodity that he previously, owned or at least previously controlled. Right. So again, this is an interesting question in general about the relationship. As I say, these are overlapping but sometimes different questions. The Maisa and the Hefsid, or the Be'en, and the Shovi. But of course, this is a big question. The Gemara says later on, the one that we, said we know about, but didn't discuss, in the end of Hakones, when we were doing all those Eish sugyas, right? Amalei Ravada Brei Deravavia, Ravashi Ma Ben Gazlan L'Chamson, right? Amalei Chamson Yoiv Dami, Gazlan Lo Yoiv Dami. Right, Amalei Yoiv Dami Chamsin Karislei. The Gemara says Tluy Vezavin Zvini Zvini Lokasha Hodomer Rotsa Hodomer Lo Rotsa. Anyways, the point is that there's something called, in addition to Gazlan, there's something called a Chamsin. Right, and the Chamsin pays. So that's an interesting, the question is, there's a debate among the Rishonim. This is part of the Sugyan Bab Metzia Hermit Beis, and this Gemara here in Samach Beis Samad Aleph. And the Gemara is in Sanhedrin in the third parak, right? Is it Chaf Dalid Amud Beis? The Losachmod topic, basically. there's a huge debate among the Rishonim whether or not the din of Chamsun, you know, what the Gemara calls Chamsun, which is B'diyahiv, dummy, is that a din Gezel Daraisa or Darabanan? Right, it particularly comes up with regard to the question of Psul Edus. Right, if you are a Chamsun, are you really Psul Edus Minat Torah, right, or not? Okay, why am I bringing this up now? It's just good to know, but meaning Chamsun is a case with the Yoiv Dami. So basically you're stealing the Be'en, but you're not really depleting his bank account. Right? In a way, Almanas Lameikat is something like that too, except that initially you are depleting his bank account, but that's not where the threat comes from. It's from the Maisa Hotzah Mershus Abaylin. Again, he's going to get back his be'en too. So these are slightly different cases. That's why, you know, they're all litmus tests, but, you know, you have to know how to use them. So if Chamsun is a din d'oraisa, it's be'en, stealing be'en without stealing shovi. But when you steal be'en and shovi, you know, obviously the shovi part, you know, is so overwhelming, and that's like the first thing that we're concerned about. So does the be'en part really still register, and if so, how? So is it possible that when you steal, you know, that there are two things happening at the same time, and that in the case of geneva, even more than gezela, again, when you steal a be'en, you know, whether it's through geneva or gezela, in both cases, of course, you're depleting the man's worth, net worth, and you are also stealing his be'en. I mean, don't, I'm not suggesting otherwise. What I am saying is, you know, when you combine that with the method that you used, namely Maiso Tzom Rishus Abaylin, which particularly accentuates, again, the be'en part, the tzura, so, right, is it possible that dafka in Geneva, right, we focus more on the be'en part? Now, again, this is a little ironic because we did mention the other day, although we were trying to explain something different, that the pasuk of the Heshev is like Zela Asher Gozal, right, which is the lav anita kala asay, you know, which is why that gezela is doesn't get malchus, you know, is written in the Torah about gezela, and there's a debate among the Rishonim. Right, the Bali Tosis think it apply equally to gezela. Bali Tosis say it applies even in a case of where the be'en is gone. There's still the heishev is like gezela asher gozal. Right, so in a way, what I'm asking is the heishev is like gezela asher gozal. You know, and Lavanita Glase is a din in the Be'en, particularly, or in the Shovi? The answer is for the Bali Tosis, it applies to Geneva, it applies, you know, to Sreifas HaBe'en. It's really about the Shovi, but we call it Nita Glase. In a way, Bali Tosis, by doing that, are kind of downplaying, at least in this respect, the Be'en part. But the Rambam, as we noted, right, when it comes to Geneva, only talks about Nitan L'Tashlumen. When it talks about Gezela, it's Mechalek between whether there is or isn't a Be'en. So you might have in the worldview of the Rambam, this is the ironic part, you might think that actually Gezela is more about the Be'en and Geneva is more about the Shovi. You can make that case. However, on the other hand, what we were saying the other day was that Geneva is more about the Maisa Geneva, right, which would seem to be about the Tzura of taking away the Be'en, and Gezela is more about separating the man from his value. So that is an issue. That's something to contend with. I was explaining that discrepancy by saying, and this is what the Rav said also, and that is that, no, the Nita Klase is about reversibility, so it's reversible in Gezela. And Tashlumen is about acknowledging the irreversibility, because you did it already. You know, the Benodim Lamokom part, if you will, and even the psychological Benodim Lechabero part, you know, is not reversible. You know, of course, you can give back the Yom. That's the answer to the question, but I'm just trying to be fair-minded, let's say. And that is that, you know, you could have taken this information and come to a different conclusion. But before, I'll take all the questions, let me just finish the point. So, but if you take it the way I'm saying it now, or not for the Rambam, so then what you might say is that the double Mechayiv in Geneva is exactly this. In other words, And Geneva, even more than Gezela, even though both are still different than Hamas, right? We care about both. In Geneva, meaning. And maybe that's the double Chiyuv. There's a Chiyuv Karen and a Chiyuv Kefel. Right? Maybe one, which? One is connected to the Ben, right? And the other is connected to the Hefzim Mamon. Now, which would be which? This is also tricky, okay? And that's why I'll show in a second that we have different indications. On the one hand, the best candidate for the Be'en on you know, at first glance is the, not the Kefel, but the Mamon, the Karen part. Right? Because the Karen is the Ben, Horesh Chalafanecha. Right, that's what you stole. Right. On the other hand, again, if what differentiates Geneva from Gezela in these things is the Hotzam of the Ben, Mershus HaBailim, and this additional, you know, factor, maybe that's about the Ben. So in those, the duplication is a way of saying, you know, that we you know, acknowledge that a double event took place. Now, why is that a knas? Well, the answer is it's a knas because still you're paying twice for the same thing. You're paying a whole separate time for a dimension which at minimum, or should I say at maximum, overlaps, but not totally distinct. Now, you didn't steal $100 worth of his net value and $100, you know, ben. You know, the Ben has, you know, what, sentimental value, you know, ownership rights, you know, whatever that is, but it's not worth $100 separate from the value that it also. So by charging it that way, you're dramatizing it, but you're not, you know, it's not fair to call that mumbo. But it isn't exactly a made up, it's not like Shloshim Shalabed or maybe a Dalad Vehei either, because it corresponds to something that you did at the moment of the Geneva. Okay, so I'm going to take all the questions in a second. I just want to get through this point. So again, number one, Chazer Karen LeBailim made zero in on either the Maisot Tzomrishus LeBailim or the Be'en factor in all of this. Okay. Second. Oh. So I just want to mention two Makoros that... I think may highlight this perspective. So one, of course, is Rashi on Samachemud Beis, which we mentioned earlier in the year. And that is on the Gemara, again, in Meruba, of Tle Kedemikara Dam Kedahashta. Okay, we mentioned it earlier in the year when we were talking about Dme Karka Kekarka. Right? We were talking about Reb Chaim and Chovel and Mazik and Gezel. We're talking about the idea of compensation, monetary compensation, versus restoration, by trying to turn back the clock and undo what you did. We're talking about, you know, you destroyed somebody's karka, you write them a check, you destroyed somebody's karka, you bring back the bulldozers, and you put the karka, you know, back the way it was. And again, that's the issue in a way of to make karka karka, right? Okay. So in the context of that, I brought a couple of examples. One of the examples I brought was Rashi. So Rashi and Samachemud Beis, it's speaking of Tle Kedemikara Damim Kedaha. Again, the Gemara there is trying to figure out, again, what happens, you know, when you steal something, you know, and there are price changes, either due to market fluctuation, right? Yoker Vizol, in other words, you know, the law of supply and demand, right? Like that's the core principle of Sai Sims, you know, the school. Or due to physical changes in the animal, right? The animal, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, little Bessie becomes bigger Bessie, or bigger Bess, you know, and what happens in terms of tashlumin under those conditions? So the Gemara says tle kedemikara, right? Damim kedahashta. The Gemara has those cases on Samachay. Amud Beis, right? You steal a little lamb, you know, and becomes a massive What does a lamb become? A lamb is a lamb. Bigger lamb's a lamb. Isaac? No? I don't know. All right. But you get the idea. So Rashi on Tlekin Kor Dam Kedahashta, I mentioned this earlier, here says that what it really means is how you pay will dictate how much you pay. Right? It's talking about Kefal and Dalad Behe. Tlei Kedemikara, right? Damim Kedahashta. It's an amazing payrush. If you're going to pay in kind, meaning you stole an animal and you're going to pay kefel and dalad vehei, he says both here, kefel and dalad vehei in animals, meaning give four animals, five animals, you know, two animals back. So tle kedemikara. Then you will pay, right, according to the size of the animal that you stole this scrawny animal. In other words, you can give back, you know, two scrawny animals. Okay? Or dalad vehei. But if it's damim, if you pay back, if you write him a check, right, then it's kedahashta. Right, then we assess not the value or the size at the moment of the geneva gazela, but the present. So again, the Rishonim don't like it, meaning they're very upset about it. But some of them are upset with it because for pragmatic reasons, you know. Which is a good pragmatic question, you know. This is what, like, if you tell somebody this Rashi, and you know, when you say to them, like, what do you think? Like, this is the litmus test to see what kind of thinker they are. Right. So the pragmatic people are going to say, like, who in their right mind, you know, would ever pay, you know, in a manner that would make them pay more? Okay? But I'm not going to lose sleep over that question. You know, maybe they wouldn't, but who cares? Right, there's a principle here involved, but obviously some Rishonim were troubled by the principle, and that is like, how could it be? Like, you know, Mimanashach, what are you chayv? Are you mechayv in here? Like, what's going on? You know, who would ever do it in his right mind? You know, somebody who's lazy. You know, he has extra, you know, extra lambs. You know, to or tremendously guilty. You know, maybe he wants to give you the higher amount. Remember the Almanas Lashalim Tashlum Kefal guy. You know, that guy was too proud. No, that doesn't bother me. And even if there was no hechatimtzi ever, it would certainly be, you know, sufficient, you know, drosh v'kabel schar, you know, basis for it. But the conceptual question is a good question. Like, what happened to, like, what's the chiyuv kefal and dalad vehei that it could be different prices depending on, you know, how you pay? Which is why I was quoting it in that context. What that seems to tell us is, according to Rashi at least, that even, and this is the added chiddush, because if I'm talking about a keren obligation, so to talk about, you know, restoration, compensation, it's understood that these can be two perspectives. Right? Even then, you could say, well, how do you know that it's, that you choose, or that it, you know, that it's both? You know, and if it's both, then maybe you should always be paying, you know, the more expensive. If they're equal, you know, then maybe you have a choice. But especially if you can choose, you know, that's very, very fascinating. Are there two psukim? Are there two elements here? Right? But what's more mechudash in this Rashi even is that he's talking about kefal and dalad vehei. So what do you mean, restoration when it comes to kefal? Dalad vehei, kefal and dalad vehei are already lamala mina karen. That's what's fascinating. Tlekin Bikar Damik Hashta is not about Karen. So what you see from there is that there can be a perspective, you know, in Kefal and in Dalad Behei, which perceives them as kind of knossos, for sure. They're knossos. But knossos that address a what otherwise would have been, what, you know, what would, because if there wasn't a knoss, it wouldn't have enough legal gravitas, we'll call it, you know, to generate mammon, right? But this is an expression of a dimension of the Maisa Gneva. And that's an amazing thing. So when you think about that, and then you think about, you know, are these two separate on the list? You know, are there other indications that maybe this isn't just a typical knas? And then you see Chazar Keren Labailim, and then you see Begunav Mibesa Ish Velo Mibesa Ganav, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Then you start wondering, you know, whether there isn't a pattern. So an even stronger one, although it's, you know, it's not Rashi. Rashi is Rashi still. You know, this is the Tosis Rid. You know. But the Tosis Rid, you know, his creativity is something that spurs us, you know, to thinking differently about certain topics. So on the question on Samachay Amud Aleph, Amarav, Karen Kain Shaganav, Kefal, you know, Dalad Mehe Kishasa Mada Bedin, you have this very, very lengthy, anybody get a chance to read it? Good. Very lengthy, very, very, very lengthy Tosis Rid. But one that is eye-opener, right, in everybody. So what's the story? You can read part of it if you want. It's just an amazing piece. He has like several possibility. Again, the Pashtus, what everybody in the world reads as Karen Kane Shaganav, let's just his background, Kefal Dal Behe Kishasa Mada Bedin, is that, you know, that Karen is assessed differently. This is usually Yukra Vizula on Samachay Amud Aleph, right? Karen is assessed differently than Kefal and Dalad Behe, right? And there's no difference between Karen of Geneva and Karen of Gezela, correct? The only difference is that, you know, in Geneva, there only is Karen. Therefore, that's all there is to talk about. And when it comes to Geneva, you know, there's the contrast, because you need to assess also Kefal and Dalad Behe. But Karen Shel Geneva, Karen Shel Gezela, are identical in every way, right? When the Gemara says Omer Rav Karen Kain Shaganav Kefal Dal Vei Kishasa Mada Bedin, so the mainstream Rishonim think that is identical. Bali Tosas even asked the question. If you look at Tosas and Samachay Amud Aleph and almost all the other Rishonim, the first question they ask is, what's the big deal? You know, why? What do we need Rav for? What do you mean? What's the question? What? Yeah, we have a Mishnah in the beginning of the ninth parak. Kol Hagazon and Mishalmi Kishasa Gzela, right? So what do you need Rav for? So what do they answer? Oh, because of the Kefal Dal Behei, or this is the Mokar, Achila Karen, or, you know, maybe one's talking about Yukra Vizula, and maybe one's talking about something else. I mean, they struggle. Okay? But the assumption of the question, and it's not nidcha by any of the answers except for the Tosas Rid, is that there's no difference between Geneva and Gezela when it comes to Karen. Whatever you're going to say, you know, whether you want to quote Rav or you want to quote the Mishnah, you know, because they're identical. It's the same principle. And that is the Shas, HaGeneva, HaGezela, right, defines your Chiyuv Tashlumin. End of story. Only the Tosas Rid differs and was impressed. And he hasn't even mentioned this part of it, but clearly this had to play a role, or just an amazing coincidence, namely that there's a Mishnah and there's a statement of Rav, and like, why do you need both? So for the Tosas Rid, because they are talking about two different things. The din of Rav, Karen Kain Shaganav, is very, very specifically about Geneva. So number one, what emerges is an amazing difference between Geneva and Gezela, according to Tosas Rid. I mentioned, you know, we're talking about differences on Tuesday, but one of the last things I mentioned was the comment of Tosas on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, right? An Ein Shama Lagana Fela Gazlin, where Tosas, according to Rishalmi, just to Rishalmi says what, you know, you need a separate pasuk for Geneva and for Gzela, for Ein Shama Lagana Fela Gazlin. Rishalmi says, yes, you do. So in the end, they're the same. But they might have been different, if not for Gzera Sakasu. Wow. On the question of whatever that question is, you know, Mishalem Subin, Shinui Kone, Pachas Nevela. Again, but obviously a fundamental question about Geneva and Gezela. But the Tosas Rid goes further. He really thinks that there's an amazing difference. So, Matan, if you don't mind, just to read just for a couple of minutes, a couple of the key lines in this. So this is the Tosas Rid. One second. Where is it? It starts on Samach Hey Omid Aleph. Samache Omud Aleph. Let's see if I can find it here. It's hard to miss, right? Wait, what starts earlier?
Oh, here it is. Yeah.
You have it?
Mashik Shesi B'madura Kama.
You have that?
Yeah.
You go ahead. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, stop. That's already something, right? No one else asked that question. What do you mean, Hayishaita Yer Mechayev Keifo? More so than any other Knas? Right? What about the idea that Knasos are, you know, at least we don't know what their fate is until Asher Hashino Lehim Velo Marshios Atzim, what about Knas being Patur? So this is a statement in general about Knasos, or this is a statement about Kefal and Geneva more particularly? Again, I don't want to take more time. So if you look at Tosis Rid in Bambitzia, right, on Lamed Dalet Amid Aleph, the Gemara there in Lamed Dalet Amid Aleph, this pertains to the Yerushalmi we spoke about the other day, in Bab Metzia talks about the Gemara talks about the schia of the shomer in Keifo. Like if he's willing to pay, right, so he becomes the address for the Keifo, the shomer. Okay? And as we know, that could be a technicality, like, you know, oh, he's putting this guy's anxiety to rest and therefore, you know, he gets the reward. Or no, it shows that he's also a kind of a quasi-bailim. And there, as long as he kind of steps up his level or neutralizes the bailim, he's the proper address for the kefil because he's a bailim. Right? And that, of course, works better for some shomrim and maybe not for others. What about Shoel and so on? Right? So anyways, in that Gemara, the Gemara tries to figure out, like, how does he makna, how is the bailim makna the kefil to the shomer? Right? The chavetz is not, chavetz is already stolen. Right, so how's he going to get the kefil over to the? Right, so that's a double question. It's a practical question, but it's also a little bit of a kefil question. Like, does the kefil exist? Is it a davar ba'olam at the time of the geneva, or is it a davar shelo bali olam? Right. So the Gemara talks about he's makta the guf lekfela. Got the whole famous sugya in the beginning of Amavka, very exciting sugya, right? So the Tosis, so that part of the discussion there is like, does the kefil exist? Tangibly, it could be potter if you're motive knas, but that's a ptur. But otherwise, is a chiyuv at the moment when you steal the object? There's a chiyuv kefil, right? Or no? There's a chiyuv keren, and then the bezdin b'shas amada bedin. There'll be a chiyuv kefil, or something like that. In general, right? Can you be mochel a knas? Last year we talked about a little more about the status of Knossos, and I think I mentioned that's a machlokas in Yerushalmi in Ksuvas. And the Rishonim in Shidduch Betzos in Ksuvas, you know, about that Yerushalmi and separate from that Yerushalmi. Right? It's a little bit of discussion of the Gra, right? Is being mochel a Knas possible, or is that Mechilas Davar Shel Abaliyot? Anyways, what am I telling all this? This is very important, very relevant sugya. But the Tosis Rid in Bab Metzia and that sugya takes the very strong view, you have to contrast it with the Rajba there and others, that, of course, the kefot is generated by the Geneva right away. So that's what Tosis Rid is saying here as well. Right? V'habayi shaita chayi b'kefot. Okay, that's not so obvious. A lot of Rishonim would think that is absolutely just not true. Already we have the impression that for the Tosis Rid, the Kefel isn't just a Knas, right? But it is a Knas that is, it's not just a Tanai, you know, like, oh, you're not going to get Kefel unless there's Geneva. The Geneva is the Mechayev of the Kefel. Okay, keep going. That's Lashitoso. Okay. Wait a second. Yeah, v'tiratzni b'dimisi kefil de geneva. Listen to this. Kef goslo for a second. Kefil de geneva. Oh, association. Kefel digneva, lekeren digazela. What? Okay, that's amazing. That's already amazing. Meaning what? Kefel of Geneva is going to be treated like Karen, which means that Karen of Gazela and Karen of Geneva are not treated the same. Okay, right? We'll see what that means in a second tangibly. But you can just see already what's going on here. The Kefel of the Geneva is like Karen of Gazela. Karen of Gazela is Machiv Mamon, triggered by the Maisa Gazela. Right? So how does that express itself? Shem Huzla Gazela. Wow, so wait. Yeah, Hachanami. So what is this? Like, you have to scratch your head, like, many times. But it's all worthwhile. I mean, what's he talking about? What happened? You stole an object, the object's value plummeted.
Yeah.
So let's say, in Gazela, what do you say? Haresh Chalafanecha. What do you mean, a rage called a panaka? There was no Shinui Kona. Right? You stole this watch. Okay? Now everybody does digital. No one wants that watch anymore. It's not yet an antique. There's no nostalgia yet. It takes like 32 or 33 years for nostalgia to build up. So it's worthless, practically. Or it's worth less. What is it worth less? Okay. It's worth less. Right? So what's the din? As long as there's no Shinui Kona, how you can say Arei Shekhal Lefanecha? Correct? And in Geneva, you can't?
For the Kefel,
you can. So that's just unbelievable. Meaning that, but before we get to the Kefel even, the Tosfot is saying the Karen of Geneva, right? The Karen of Geneva, there's no Arei Shekhal Lefanecha? Well, the Heshev is like Zela Shagazal, like the Rambam, for the Rambam, is only, I mean, for the Psukim, and the Rambam thinks it's significant, really only in Gazela. Okay, but whoever thought that that affects, I mean, you still say Haresh, the Rambam holds, you still say Haresh Chalafanecha, typically. Right? So this is an unbelievable, we'll see, he means it, we'll see in a second. Meaning in Geneva, so what are we really saying? That in Geneva, in Gazela, when you steal the chefetz, you're stealing the ban. Okay? And in Geneva, when you steal the chefetz, this is a little bit different than what I was saying, but not so much. In Geneva, when you steal the chefetz, you're doing two things at the same time. You're stealing the ban, and you're stealing the shofi. Even when there is a ban. In other words, in Gazela, as long as there's a ban, maybe because you can always reverse it, right? Or for other, whatever. In Gazela, as long as there's a ban, all you've stolen is the ban. We don't look at value. We say, Arei Shekhal Lefanecha. But in Geneva, when you steal a ban, you've done two things at the same time. You've stolen the ban, right? But you've also stolen its value. Again, maybe because of the Maisa, whatever it is. In the end of the day, you can't say Reishal Chalfan. If you say Reishal Chalfanecha, you have to compensate him for the lower value of the watch. No Rishon holds that way. That's an amazing. But then the Kefel emerges as an expression of the Ben. Right? The Kefel is like Zela, and the Karen is this unbelievable Kiddush. Right? Keep going for a second. Therefore, you pay Kishas Geneva. Right? The Bigzela Nami Dafka. Go ahead. If the Gzela is not Ben, you'll also pay Kidahashta. You wouldn't say a racial Kalafanecha. Okay. And therefore, what's he arguing? And therefore? So why isn't there that in Kefel? I mean, the Kefel's never been. That's what bothers the Tosis Rid now, right? I mean, even if you're going to say this truism, if you're going to say this is true, namely, that there's a fundamental difference between Geneva and Gezela, and that Geneva is always a double Mechayiv, and Gezela is a single Mechayiv, right? That's true as long as there's a Ben. The second there's no longer Ben, so is there a Ben? Is the Kefil Ben? Right? The Kimchin is Bar, I'm skipping a little bit. The Begzela, I'm skipping quite a bit, if you can find. The Kimchin is Bar, the Gam Begzela, Ilesa, Ben, Mishalim, Kedimikara, my Itzrich Krub, Begneva, Lememer, Achel, Karen, Kane, Shagana. Right? Hakim to Tabach, Velesa, Ben, Afil, Begzela, Nami. I mean, it should be obvious again, because, you know, in a case where there's no Ben and Geneva, are you going to treat Geneva and Gzela the same? Okay, so does he go back on the whole thing? Venerally, have that?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Meaning again, he's going back to it. I mean, he's just tweaking it a little bit. But this is the idea, correct? That Geneva, it is a double chiyuv. As long as the object is there. But the double chiyuv of Geneva expresses, the other part of that chiyuv expresses itself in kefel. Right. Now the question is, even if the chefetz is, does it matter on the kefel side? You're going to say kefel is kashas hageneva, correct? Does it matter whether the karen is ban or not? Whether you say that the kefel changes. Right. Does the kefel change depending on whether the karen is ban? That's an interesting question. That's 2 days in Tosas Rit. Okay, then he says, okay, it's in Yerushalmi. Da 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 da. Madakashali ala kefal amai mishalem kedahashta im tavachu machar. Leshomed lo omar kefal kedahashta ala kedisa be'en. So one view is, how much kefal you pay depends on whether the chefetz is now be'en or not. What does that have to do with the kefal? Right? Meaning that the kefal is part of the, even though it's me'al me'ever, right? It's you're addressing a dimension of the Geneva Sabe'en, even now. That's incredible. But maybe even more incredible is the other side of it. Okay? Avali tavachu machar, afilu kefal nami mikar mishal. Kind. V'hochi bois lefrushe milsadarav keren kenshin ganav afilu isa be'en. Fine. Tashlumi kefal ki isa be'en v'tashlumi dalad v'heim tavach. Again, still not basar hamad b'din, right? Which is still amazing. Inami, you have that, Matan?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I mean, even if there's no Be'en, the Kefel is frozen at the moment of the Maisa Gneva, right? It's not how you relate now to the Tashlume, you know, what your obligation is, you know, vis-a-vis the Karen. Second view is that when you do a Maisa Gneva, at that moment, two things happen. You're Chayiv Tashlumin, you're Chayiv for being Mechaser Mamono, and that's the Karen, for the Tosfos Rit. Right? And for the Kefel, and the Kefel is the Chiyuv for that moment of the Ben. Right? So it's always Ki'ilu, there's a Ben. You're always paying for the Ben part of your crime. That's incredible. Okay. There was a question, a whole bunch of questions. We'll stop and just give me for... Yeah, Robbie, go ahead.
It's
you have to speak a little louder, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to know if. One second. Well, I mean, 2 days in Tosis.
Right.
I mean, the Kedemashmilu, he's asking, Rabbi's asking a Los Achman question. I mean, it's 2 days in Tosis in Bamitzia. It's 2 days in Tosis in Sanhedrin.
I thought Rabbi was referencing it when he mentioned Sanhedrin. Meaning the Tosis there seem to indicate that people are right, at least the first day. And if you pay, you can actually miss
a well, it's on Isser of Losach mode.
Sorry?
If you pay, it's not an Isser of Losach mode.
Right.
But again, that's what Losach was. I would separate those 2 points still. I mean, the 2 days in Tosa are not about Gzeila. There are 2 days about Los Achma. Now, again, the view in Tosa that says that, Inoch Hanami, you only violate Los Achmod when it's Los Sigzon, Slava of Bashnayim. My personal view on that is, I don't know if we ever discussed this, is that Tosa doesn't mean, you get an extra demerit. Tosa means that the conditions are the same, but they're two different Mechayim. But, no, I don't think you have to connect those two things together. Yeah?
You're saying the Tosfos really have a separate between Gnevin and Zela?
Yeah.
Isn't part of the motivating factor...
Isn't part of?
The motivating factor is that he wants there to be a chesh of Gnevin over Zela, but keep them as close to each other as possible. That's why he keeps on trying to compare the Karen one...
Right, but in the end of the day, isn't it remarkable? I mean, you have the Schefetz Be'en... and in Gzela you're going to say Beheshevus like Gzela Shagadz Al Reisha Kalafanecha. And let's say hold Hezek Sheno Nikar. We'll make it relevant. So let's say hold Hezek Sheno Nikar. That's our next Gemara, right? Hezek Sheno Nikar. Hezek Sheno Nikar. Lo Shma Hezek. Okay, and it's Chametz Shavar Alava Pesach. So you, according in, if it's Gzela, you can say Aresh Chalafanecha, assuming that the Toba Hatalia, which is certainly so again Gittin, right? So Aresh Chalafanecha, you can give him back his chametz, and you can say, haha, here's your chametz, enjoy it, right? And or pigol or whatever, toma, but if it was Gneva. Right? You have to pay him? Assume that there's no difference between Yukar Vizula. I'm not sure about that. That's an interesting question, actually. So you might be right in the motivation in a way, but at the end of the day, isn't the stark de facto reality a bigger point than the effort?
I just thought he was taking like the Tosos motivation and going so far to say, therefore, there has to be a difference. Because they're so similar, it can't just be the
Geneva. Oh, you mean you're saying the same thing? You're saying.
It can't just be the Geneva mimicking the Gzeh. It has to be an added Kiddush.
There has to be something unique about Gzeh. Oh, Geneva. Oh, okay. Could be. Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I thought you were. Yeah, I guess that's true.
We go so far to compare the Kiddush to the Karen because there has to be a distinction.
Right. Right. I'm just saying the effect is to strengthen the view that the difference between Geneva and Gzeh are fundamental, and the view that. There are two mechayvim in Geneva itself, one of which is captured by Kefal. Yeah.
How do you explain the Koteros of the Rambam by Geneva, which mentions Mamun, and then by Gzela, which doesn't suggest that the Geneva...
Right. So this is I think, again, it doesn't bother me so much, but I think it is, I think, the weak point about the difference between Geneva and Gzela, you mean. Mm-hmm. So, again, if I had that alone, that koteret alone, to contend with, the two koterot, in other words, alone to contend with, I admit that I would have gone the opposite way with it, what Robbie's calling the Avigdor way. If Avigdor's listening, he'll probably be nodding. But given the cumulative evidence, some of which we discussed on Tuesday, I think that maybe the reference is to, again, Almanas Lameikat in a way, meaning that, you could have situations in Geneva where the Mamon part isn't, or what your Gonev is kind of, less significant than the fact that you're Gonev.
Right.
So that kind of, I would suggest. But, yeah, I agree that I alone, if I only had that, I probably would have gone the opposite way with it. Just as, and this is a point that Robbie was making the other day, too, and that is that, you know, if I just had to go with no other evidence, Vayigzol Sachanis Miata Mitzri, oh, you took this, but, you know, I would think, oh, like the psychology of, you know, he mugged him, he, you know, he grabbed it from him, you know. But again, it's interesting that Chazal, you know, think, the Gemara, in other words, thinks that Geneva is more heinous. But as we were talking after Shir, I mean, one is in a way in a Beran Mamakom thing, and the other is a Beran Mechavero thing. So, yeah, that I admit that alone, as a standalone, that would put me in the other direction. But given cumulative evidence, I think that's probably what it's about.
In Achnami, even if we don't accept it as evidence to the contrary, how do we explain the Rambam's formulation according to Amahal? Why then did the Rambam choose to emphasize Mammon and Geneva and not Mammon?
No, I think what he's trying to say is that even though, that's what I meant about Al-Manasseh, because Al-Manasseh Mekat is so prominent, so you could get the impression that in Geneva, you know, we don't even care what you're stealing. Right? And therefore, the answer, there still needs to be a chatzah shel mamon, you know, even if it's something, even if the chisaron mamon isn't the mechayev part of it. That's what I'm trying to say. Shelo yargel atzmo bekach doesn't mean, you know, that. For example, I think it's an interesting question. Again, in the sugya in Hameniach, the Gemara has ben bagbag. Yeah? So, you know, Gozel, you know, from the guy steals back the chepetz that was stolen from him. So, again, in the Gemara, in the Sifra, particularly, again, the Bagbag is quoted prominently in some of the Moni HaMitzvos, but the Rambam omits it, which I find interesting. In other words, I think if you hold Ben Bagbag, you know, and you don't think it's just an Avodah Nishdina D'Nafshe thing, but you think it's a Geneva thing, so then, like, it's even more extreme than Al-Manasseh Lameka. Like, you can't steal back your own object, because stealing is a heinous crime. But I think it's curious that the Rambam, in the end, doesn't mention it. So I think that to me, fits in a little bit. Meaning, in the end of the day, it's true, but you still need to be Goneid Mamo. And even though the Rambam thinks that Chatzi Shir, I think I mentioned this in Milchas Chinuch, that the Chatzi Shir is more in Geneva and less in Gezela, meaning more part of the standard, and not just like a, you know, kind of Chatzi Shir din, but like, that too is Maisa Geneva. But, you know, even though that's true, it's still because, you know, that also is considered some mamon.
That mahalach could also explain a number of other discrepancies, like why, I think it's in Geneva that he says Shavakuta Ulamala, but by Gezela he just says Shavakuta.
Yeah.
By Shavakuta he emphasizes, Geneva he emphasizes, doesn't emphasize Chavero, but by
Gezela. Right. The Chavero part in particular, because it's not, right, what he did to him. So there are a whole bunch of other things. I just didn't want to get, because we're not learning Maruba now, so I'm trying to take it easy. What? Yeah, no. But your questions are absolutely correct. And that's kind of what I would do with the Kibla. Was there more questions? Or we solved them as we went along. We're good? Okay. So that's what I want to say about Kefel and Dal Vehei and Geneva and Gezela, and just a little kind of intro to Maruba for whoever wants one in that context. But having said that, there's a little more to say. And that is on the Shock of the Tower. Yeah.
I just had a question that was just read. I found, and I could be mistaken, obviously, that it was also the relationship between Dalek and Kefel was something that he was picking up on.
Yeah.
The first day, he seems to be saying that Kefel is reliant upon Dalek in the sense that, I mean, if there's peace on the Hira, then the Kefel is Kishasim Geneva, but if there isn't, then Kishasim Adonim, which the second one, he seems to be saying that they're not actually dependent on.
I mean, whether the Tosis Rid is distinguishing between Kefel and Dalet Vehei, you want to know? I didn't notice that. Because he doesn't repeat it later? Or is there some indication that he...
No, because he seems to be saying...
Again, all this makes much more sense to me in Kefel than it does in Dalet Vehei, including the very beginning of... Remember how the Tosis Rid starts, which is... why would Kefel be dependent upon Shasa Marabedin, its trigger is the Geneva, right? That's not true about Dalet Vehei. Now, it is true that as he goes along and he's trying to navigate some of the evidence, especially in the cases where especially if we're machalic between there is or isn't a be'en, or the be'en is gone, then he brings in the dalad v'hei. But the basic yesod, which I think emerges from the Tosas Rid, you know, which is based on that first question and the bigger idea that, you know, that when you steal something, you're doing two things at the same time, one to the be'en and one to the value. That works much better with kefel than dalad v'hei. Now, if dalad v'hei ended up being nigrar in some of it, I think, you know, that's a little. I don't think that's indefensible because they are both knossos in the end. So maybe structurally, but I think conceptually, it's much better to leave it out. So I'll look through it again just to see, like, is it clear? To me, I thought most of the evidence was in the case where we're not saying this halacha, you know, because it's not a ban anymore, and then we're, you know, proving from kefel dalad v'hei as a pact. Because at the end of the day, you also have to contend with the fact that the Gemara puts them together. Again, the Tosefta, the Riba and Shita Mekubetzes, a little bit the Tosas Rid, are distinguishing them in different cases. So the way they get away with that is say, oh, we don't either, like, you know, Latafka, or, well, yeah, because our overlapping cases where they're both the same and different than the Karen, although they're not always the same, you know, relative to each other either. For the Tosas Rid, conceptually, the default would be that they're really not the same. You know, but maybe it's impossible. Maybe there aren't three categories, and therefore sometimes it's nigrar. So the dalad v'hei kind of gets, you know, I don't know, the benefit or the liability, you know, of what we do. Okay, but it's really all about kefa. Okay. But it's a good ha'ara. Let me look at it again. Okay. Okay. So let's continue with the Gemara. Arya, you want to just where we were, and then we'll try Sunday to finish all these things up. Okay, where are we? Yeah. Okay, Edom Zomimim. We still have to talk about a little bit. You know, first let's get the Gneva and Gazela things out of the way. So let's talk about the. I'll get back to Edom Zomim, but Edom Zomim, I told you to look at Tosas, Tosa Rush, then it's Siv on Base Omid Base, the Rashash here, and to think about, you know, again, the Rambam, Perikaf Halacha Base, Reb Chaim, the Meiri, if you get a chance. I mean, what's Kasha Zom, Kasha Asa? Does Kasha Zom, Kasha Asa, you know, play a role here? Of course, Tosas on Base, Amud Aleph, and the Tosas here about Efshar B'Chazara and you know, Enon Shemin Adin. But again, we're going to try to do it quickly. The shock of it, I want to wait till we read the Gemara and Hayyamin Aleph, whether, you know, it's a Knas or Mamon. But obviously, whatever we're going to say about Eidim Zomim is going to be very connected to what we already said when we talked about the sugya of Mamon Lezen Nefashos Lezeh, namely the perspective whether Eidim Zomim is really a Maisa Aveira, or the Tashlumin is because of a Maisa Aveira and because of Eidus Sheker, or whether or not, is it Eidus Sheker, is it Hazama, or is it even Shem Eid Zomim? Obviously, that's going to be very relevant, you know, to this whole discussion. So we'll leave out Eidim Zomim for a second, so we can just finish off the. Okay, so Eidim Zomimim, go ahead. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that, but for the second, we'll talk about that Sunday. The Onus on the Fata Motzi Shemra.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about them still. Right. The biggest question about Onus on Fata Motzi Shemra, the Tamei Medamea and Menaseh, which we'll talk a little bit more on Sunday, is again, are they different from each other? I mean, the two groups, within the groups. In other words, Onus Mefata Motzi Shemra, you know, are they really different Mechaibim? Right? I think the answer is yes. I'm not going to go into the whole thing because that's really, these are Ksuvis topics. If you recall, we did talk about it. When did we talk about it? Were those who were here and learned Sanhedrin? That's what we talked about it, right? The relationship between Mefata, Onus, and Motzi Shemra. And tried to show that they are different. I mean, again, there's a tremendous amount of overlap, obviously, in terms of the knas and the. But obviously, onus mefata are different, right? The fact that one is the pitui and the other is baonus makes them very different. Motzi shemra, as I say, is an interesting question. You know, what exactly is the major mechayev? You know, in that, is it lashon hara? you know, is it... there's definitely a Lashon Hara element of it, Sugin Erchen. But I was trying to say, I think it was in Sanhedrin. Was it in Sanhedrin? Sure, yeah. Was that, you know, there wouldn't be Lashon Hara if there wasn't, you know, or if there wasn't Lashon Hara, then it wouldn't be Motzi Shemra, but it's much more than Motzi. Motzi Shemra is much more than Lashon Hara. The question is, it's the Dibor, it's really the reputation damage. Again, I'm not going to go into so much that, but Onus Mefata, Motzi Shemra, that's the question there. Metame Midamei Menasech goes to the question of Tosas on Heyom and Aleph, right? Where Tosas said, we talked about this already in the Marsha and so on. Hadikatani Shlosha Gavni, you know, in Hezek Shein Lominkara, Lefishem Shnuyim Beperikani Zakin. Kidikatani Shamachina Masha Ovenos Zachar Vasocher. So again, we noted that the Marsha speaks about that. That is not such a pashut, that's not so simple. Again, if you think the Dalet Shomrim are all the same, so then there are other things that are also the same, that's fine. But if you think the Dalet Shomrim really do represent different mechayvim, which we've argued, you know, that it very well might, then it's hard to say this. So I think what you have to say about Metame, Medamea, and Menasech, and a little when the Gemara talks about Moser and Pigol, is that even though the Nezek part is the same. In other words, once, I mean, they're both, they're cases of Hezek, Shein, and Nikar. But what being on the list might signify is, like, why, the way that Tuma, let's say, and Pigol, you know, and Menasech, the reason why they're Hezek, Shein, and Nikar, not the Ein HaNikar part, the reason why they're Mazik, albeit Ein HaNikar, has to do with different mechayim. Meaning, in a doma, the nature of the nezek, the invisible or the halachic, whatever you want to call it, nezek of tuma to that of, you know, nisuch or pigol. Right? So they're very different processes, and the fact that these have the ability, right, to spoil other things, even financially, to damage them financially, is surely significant. And one may be al yidei iruv, and the other is al yidei exposure. And the other is al-yidei, a maisa vodazara, right? These are different ways of accomplishing halachic damage, and that's significant as categories, different types of damages in a way. Okay, even though the status and stature of it as damage, that they qualify as damage, depends on a single issue. That is the question of Hezek, Shein, or Nikar, right? And I would just add to that. It's something that we will speak a little bit more about, and that is, if you hold Hezek Shein Nikar Shema Hezek, just like if you hold Garmi as Chayev, and Dovar Agoron LeMamon as Chayev, and so on, as we've already noted, there are still two ways to understand that. Right? One way is to speak about the effect. Let's say, oh, Afal Pi, that there's no Maisa Hezek, Garmi. Afal Pi, that he's not really the Bailim, Dovar Agoron LeMamon Kamamadam. Afal Pi, that there is not really Chefza Shal Nezek, Hezek Shein Nikar, right? Nonetheless, the result of Hefzid Mamon, you know, is enough. The other way to look at it is that these three, and in which case, they're all kind of the same too. I mean, you could have distinguished, but Garmi, Gorin, the Mamon, and Hezek Shein Nikar belong to the same, which is what some of the Rishonim think, right? The other way to look at it is that, no, Garmi works because, you know, even though it isn't a classical and full measure Maisa Hezek, right, it is a contributory, it's a diluted Maisa Hezek. And even though Hezek Shein Nikar is not Nikar, Afal Pi Chein, Al Pi Din, it's considered Chafza Shel Nezek. And Afal Pi Dover Gorin LeMamon Kamamon Dami isn't the primary Bailim, he's a bailim enough, legabe, right, the din of Nezek. Oh. Once you say that, so also saying that it matters to us, even though it depends on Hezek, Shein, and Nikar, Shema Hezek. Right? Number one, you might be mechalik between different Hezek, Shein, and Nikars, just as you certainly are mechalik between different Garmis and different Dover, Agor, and Lamamons, right? The Dover, Agor, and Lamamons that are insurance companies, the Dover, Agor, and Lamamons that are, you know, more because he's kind of the quasi or stand-in bailim, right? The garmis that are grummas, bialma, And the garmiz that, you know, that so that can, you know, that can, you know, that are close enough that it's considered modulated or moderated, you know, or you know, attenuated, but still a hezek, right? So too, you know, are all hezek shen and nikars alike? Maybe not. So let's we'll look at that. But if they're not, then mitame, medameya, and menasech, right? Even though they all depend on hezek shen and nikar, on the category, you know, of invisible nezek or halachic nezek qualifying. But at the end of the day, it's still they're still different. The different mechayvim are not just important because they're what cause this result, but even the fact that they're called chafetz shel nezek is independently significant. Okay, so that is an alternative to what Tosa says. Okay, let's continue. Givahani tleisar, go ahead. Oser miarba, Rabboshia, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so that of course is very intriguing. Meaning, Shamarchina Vashoel capture God of the Gazlan. Okay, so I want to talk about that for a minute. That Rabchia Nami, let's just get to the end of the line. The Yadei Bisura. Okay, we'll stop here for a second. So we'll stop here for now, but let me just talk about it for a minute. And that is, of course, so again, in the last line of the Gemara, right, Shoel and Shomer Chinam do not look, like instinctively, we don't think of them as God of the gods. Right? And as the Gemara says, you know, because there's a Maisig Zela in one case, right? Mamona de Asaliyadebi Surah. And in the other case, not. The question is, in the end of the day, like we were just saying about Garmi Grama, you know, Gorim Lamamon, Hezek Shein, and Ikar, you know, Shomer Chinam and Shoel, first of all, what are we talking about? What are the cases? We'll get that in just a second. But, so the point is that you know, Afal Pi, that it's, you know, not Oso Liade Bisur, it is still considered a Maisa Gneva or a Maisa Gezela of some sort? Or just Chalos Gneva U Gezela? That's one question. That's what we're talking about, of course, about the cases. But that's certainly a question. The bigger question, of course, again, is what are we talking about and what is the significance of this? Oh. So let's just speak again. I don't want to get pulled into the whole Bava Kama. We did discuss this a little bit, again, last year, for those who were here last year, because, of course, when we were talking about Shuas HaPikadon, right, we talked about Kofer Pikadon, Kofer Pikadon Ayidei Shuas Sheker. And Agav, when we saw some of the Gemaras, we were doing that, we also discussed a little bit how that connects with things like Toin Tanas Ganav and Shaleach Yad, Bepikadon, etc. So I'll just say it this way, and then we can talk about the Pratim more quickly. And if I can, maybe we'll leave the Pratim for Sunday, and then we'll try to finish all of this up on Sunday. But I would say the following. What we need to think about is the following. These four categories, which are probably, you know, between the Rishonim, Rashi, and the Rajba, and the Ravid, and so on, you know, what it is that we're dealing with. To what extent are these other dinim, again, just a chalos geneva or gezela, or really some sort of a maisa geneva gezela? To what extent are they even chalos geneva or gezela, really, especially when they're really hybrids, again, of Shomer, right, and Geneva and Gezeva. And again, just to make it clear, hopefully, Moshe Lamad Overdoma, what we were saying about the Rambam in Poshe Akamazi, right? In other words, sometimes a hybrid, and we talked again, last year we talked a lot about hybrids, right? You know, about Shuas Edos and Shuas Abikadon, right? So, this is the question. Sometimes, you know, the background is very critical and it can redefine something. But again, legally and formally, in the end of the day, right, we kind of go beyond that background, you know, into a different category. Right. So you know, if poshea kemazik is be taken the way I understand it, or the preferred way I understand it, you know, not even the moderated way, so then what that means is that once you're mekabel achrayas, right, your sheval tasa becomes like a kumase act of hesek. Right. So given that background and that framework, right, this is mazik. This is now mazik. Right, but you don't have to say it that way. You could say it the more moderate way, and that is that it's some sort of a combination, some sort of a hybrid. It's the hezek of a shomer. Either way, even what I'm saying is it's the hezek of a shomer. But the point is it's the background, you know, and then it's, given the background, it's mazik. Or no, maybe it's a kind of a, you know, combination. Right? You could say no, it's even more than that. It's the, you know, it's really a din shomer, you know, that, you know, that that extends, you know, even into the area of hezek. Okay, again, I don't want to get caught up on the mashal, on the example, but let's say, you know, kofar b'pikado, right? So kofar b'pikado is beteira asaliyade, sholeach yad is beteira asaliyade, right? Toin tainis ganav, right? Is beteira asaliyade. All these come from the world of shomrim. If you were the Rambam. And this is not the answer to the way to answer the question, because there could always be, you know, other reasons. But just to frame the question again, where would you put these halachos? Would you put them in Sefer Mishpatim, you know, in Hilchos Shomrim, or would you put them in Hilchos Geneva Gezeila? Okay, it's a very basic question. I mean, the Rambam did put Shomer Chinam's Poshea Kemazik in Hilchos Chiras, right? But he does discuss some aspects of Sholeach Yad, Kofru B'Pikadon, Toin Tanas Ganav, and Shol Shalom Midas, you know, in Hilchos Gezela, or Hilchos Geneva in Hilchos Gezela. Right? Toin Tanas Ganav is Geneva. So I don't know if that's Machri alone, because, again, there are different classificatory, you know, factors to consider. And, you know, there are efficiency issues and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, this is the question. Meaning, are they the background shomer dinim? But given that background of shomer that redefines, you know, that expands geneva and gezela, it's true. It's beteira soliade. Right? And maybe that's mostly what we care about. And therefore you need, you know, but on the other hand, he's a shomer, so it's particularly egregious. For a shomer can be a gazlan from a gazlan point of view, even without the maisa. Or again, this hat switching, you know, that we always talk about. You know, it's pikon kalechi isa b'shusa demari isa. You know, but it's like he's, you know, it's like his backyard or his cellar or his whatever it is, you know, has a double status. And it's almost like he's taking it from one and putting it into the other, you know. Again, either technically or this is the question. The question is how much shomer, how much gezela, hybrid, front loaded, back loaded. What is this stuff? What's going on here? Okay. So again, if the answer to all these questions doesn't have to be the same, you know, Toin Tanas Ganav might be different than Kofar B'Pikado. You know, which might be different than Sholeach Yad. Sholeach Yad could be the gzela of a shomer, as opposed to the background of a shomer, you know, allowing for, you know, a different, you know, technical circumstance of what is totally gzela. Again, if I were the Rambam, you know, and I didn't have other considerations, you know, where I put these things alone would be koveya. Now it's no, because there are other factors, and it's tough, and some of them are hybrids, and whatever. Okay, so when the Gemara says here that Shomer Chinam and Shoel, you know, represent Geneva, Gezela, so it's an interesting problem to deal with. It's partly this question. The more these things are, if they're too much Geneva, Gezela, we'll say, right, so then the question is like, well, you know, then they're totally represented. You don't need the Geneva Gezela. I'm trying to figure out Rabchia and his critics. You know, do we care about the Betera? Bitur Betera B'Siras Eliyado ends up being kind of a technicality. The more we think that there are elements of Gnevo Gazela, but it's still, you know, for a Shomer, therefore it's Betera Eliyado, therefore even qualitatively, even given the background, there are differences. You know, that might justify sufficiently both. And the more you think that it's not even a hybrid, but real Dine Shmira, so then it wouldn't qualify at all. Okay, sure, there's a Gnevo Gazela element, but it's really a Shomer then. That doesn't really cover Gnevo Gazela. Right? So we did discuss last year, I guess. So for everyone who wasn't here last year, it's Patar. The fact that the Rambam, for example, in Perek Gimel, because Gazela, what is it, Halacha Tess Yud Aleph and Yud Gimel, or something like that? Or Tess, how does it go? Something like that? Tess Yud Aleph and Tess Vav? I guess we could look it up. Talks about Kofar B'Kadon, right? Shaleich Yad and Shal Shlomi Das, describes them as being Chayiv Mishum Gazela, right? But not actually being Gazela. Can I bring it? I forgot to bring it. You have it? Thanks. This time I'll try and remember to give it back to you instead of taking it hostage for many days. Halacha Yidal, Shaleich Kadav Bikadam Ben Shalach Da'atmo Kol Yad Beno Right Ba'avdo Ushlucho Harei Ze Gazlan. Not that it's a Maisik Zeyla, but Harei Ze Gazlan, he's a Gavra Gazlan Ben Ischayev Ba'omsav. The Nas is Hagzela Bershuso Kedin Kala Gazlan. Right, three level. Gazlan, the Schaib Omsav, and Nasis Hagzela Bershusov, that sounds like even Kinyanim, maybe. Kedin Kala Gazlanim. Okay. Then you have Yudalid. Kofar Bepikonim Bezdin, Imhoya Bershusov Esha Kofar Nasa Olav Gazlan. Here he only says Vachaib Omsav. Right, not Hareu Gazlan, but Nasa Olav Gazlan. Right, B'chai Ba'onzav. That's Yudalit. So what the first one was? Yud Aleph, Yudalit, and Tesva. Hashol Shalom Yudas HaBailim, Harei Ze Gazlan. Okay? So, again, we talked last year about it. I don't want to go over it again, but you have to look at the Gemaras in Bava Kama. We talked last year about the difference between Kofar B'Pikadon and Kofar B'Pikadon B'Nishbal HaSheker. Right, and how much of it is a hichos shvuos halacha, and what's in hichos shvuos and what's in hichos gezela, and whether or not the shvua also catapults the gezela and maybe even the kinyanim. Are there kinyane gezela in these cases? The Rambam says about shaleich yad that there are kinyane gezela, and certainly chiyuve gezela, meaning achrayas. About shol shalom midas, he only says areza gazlin, doesn't say make it clear. And in Kofar B'Kadon, it's clear that they're Chiyuv Egzela, but not that they're Kinyan Egzela. Again, Shol Shalom Das, I believe we mentioned earlier in the year for a different reason, you have the Raivin in Bava Kama and Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, it's all late, we'll just a moment to finish with this, who says that even if Shol Shalom Das is a Gazlan, there's no din of Shinui Kona, there's no heter of Tashmishim. Right, the Gemara has that case of Tokev Bisfina. Right, a guy steals something. Is he obligated to pay what would have been Dmei Tashmishim to the Bailim? So a Ganef and a Gazlan have Kinyanim. Part of their Kinyanim, as we talked about the other day, part of the Kinyanim expressed itself that he doesn't have to pay Dmei Tashmish. But what about a Shol Shalom Midas? According to the Manamar Gazlan. So that's what Reb Chaim in Perek Tes, Ochuz Gzela, Lach Aleph, quotes that Ravid as saying, Shol Shalom Midas is a Gazlan, but he doesn't have Kinyane Gzela. Why? Because he doesn't mean to keep it. He only means to borrow it. So he wasn't given the rights to use it. And he's also not trying to, like a Gazlan, force right the right to use it and keep it. So if, therefore, Reb Chaim, based on the Ravid, says, he might have Chiyuve Gzela, but he doesn't have Kinyane Gzela. That's how some Rishonim explain the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says you take that's quoted in Tosis in Akones, right? You take you steal an object with the purpose of throwing it into the river. Okay? So you have chiyuv egzela, but you don't have kinyan egzela, because he never intended to keep it. So there's no kinyan in it. My point I'm trying to make is, what is the level of gzela in these cases? On a gabra gazlan, on a maisa gzela, on a kinyan egzela. Now, toitan is kind of even trickier in a way, because toitan is kind of such a specific halacha, but it's the only one that's kefel. Right, Toin Tanis Ganav, if you use, right, you try to exploit, you know, the Ptur Ganav in Shmira, right, and it turns out that you're a cynical, you know, exploiter of that heter, you know, into Shmira, then we treat you like the Ganav himself, even the Gabe Kefa. That's a very remarkable halacha, right? So that's like a shmira halacha, or that really is a form. Are we really consider that a form? I mean, the fact that you're chayiv kefel sounds like it's a real form of gneiva. Okay. So having said that, I mean, this is a question to ask about all these four cases, and I don't think that the answer is the same as I'm trying to show. So it's fascinating when the Gemara. What is Gemara talking about? The parallel to Shomer Chinam and to Shoel. All right. So Rashi here says that it's basically toin tanis ganav and toin tanis gazlan, or toin tanis aveda. There's no such thing as toin tanis gazlan in the Gemara. Really, toin tanis aveda. But that's what Rashi says, and he says, the shoel lav dafka, which is dochek. That's what Rashi says. So according to Rashi, the discussion in the Gemara here is about basically toin tanis ganav and kofar bepikadon. Right? And the Rajba and the Raivid disagree. Okay, so we'll talk about very briefly, 5 minutes, but basically these are the parameters, and then we'll move on to Hazama and Hezek Shein and Nikar to try to finish this off on Sunday.